Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And as the weeks of stay-at-home orders mount, the daycare industry, according to one expert, is close to the brink of collapse. Earlier this month, Senators Elizabeth Warren and Tina Smith introduced a $50 billion bailout of the industry. But Helen Blank, the former director of child care and early learning at the National Women's Law Center, says that still doesn't account for the growing educational divide between the rich and the poor. Helen Blank joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Happy to be here today with you.
You know, I've been thinking a lot lately about what some are calling this COVID slide, kind of like that summer slide where kids lose some of the academic achievement gains from the previous year. You say this is definitely something that we are going to see after all of this.
Yeah, I think it's clear, and it's especially clear for low-income children. I mean, we've always had a deep divide, and you know, our system is characterized by huge inequities, but the virus has exacerbated this divide and revealed how deep it is, because we are going to have a slide from all children, because school is not being approached the way it always has been. But we have so many children who have basic lack of access to the internet when we're doing remote learning, who, and this is because of resources or geography, they don't have the devices. And their families, at first I thought, you know, their families are just too busy to support children's learning. And, you know, then I realized that we have families who are simply not there. Essential workers who go to work, maybe leaving 12-year-olds with younger children, or, you know, leaving school-aged children home alone. So we hear higher-income families talk about the fact that they can't do the math, right? It's so hard to help their children. But we have families who just aren't there. The divide that we have is just going to get bigger and bigger in terms of children losing learning.
You know, we're not hearing a lot about what this means for even younger children. As you mentioned, schools often provide before and after school care, but this is a huge strain for families with children not yet in school, but daycare, essentially.
You know, our child care system is actually on the verge of collapse. We've always had a very patchwork system that is not supported with enough public funds. Most of it is private funding, unlike schools. And with so many families working from home and shouldering caregiving responsibilities and frontline workers struggling to find and afford childcare, this crisis is really a wake-up call, because the childcare workforce is a critical family support and really an engine of our economy. And even before this, we had very few families eligible for help in paying for childcare. We had a workforce that was disproportionately women of color and immigrant families, and they were paid extraordinarily low wages. They struggled to meet the needs of their own families. So we have two issues.
What do you think is the possible future for childcare workers in this country? Meaning, what will it take to make these child care facilities safe? You know, we're talking about social distancing being the norm well into possibly 2022.
I think we are going to have to pay enormous attention to child care. It's always been a side issue. Somehow, you know, parents make do, and child care providers have held it up. But given the stress it's under now, we're going to have to look at how we infuse a significant amount of new resources into the system so we can have smaller class sizes, enough teachers for fewer numbers of children. We're going to also have to support the child care workers and the child care system. So if parents aren't there, the child care programs get paid regardless, so they can stay open.
When we see this anticipated education gap happen, I just know we're going to hear what parents and teachers could have done differently. The educational disparity solutions are often so focused on the individual and not the collective or the system. What are some solutions you'd like to see implemented during this time?
There's no way around it. We needed government intervention before we saw the virus. There have been comprehensive bills introduced, one by Senator Patty Murray of Washington State, one by Senator Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts, that would get our system on the right track. And we have to go back and look at those, because this isn't just the $50 billion that advocates estimate that we need to open up the system now and take care of the crisis. This really calls for creating the kind of government help we need to have a childcare system that's publicly funded like our school system. Because we already know parents are paying more than they can afford for childcare, and that still means that the providers are not paying what they need. And it doesn't, and it hasn't worked without a strong role for government. And we have to think about how we care for children of low-wage, low-income families, because those children are the most stressed from what's going on now. So we have to look at what kind of economic and healthcare system we have, so all these children and their families don't fall through the cracks. And we have to have a high-quality childcare pre-K system that meets the needs of children and their families, that allows parents to work knowing their children are in safe, stable, high-quality places.
That's Helen Blank, former director for leadership and public policy at the National Women's Law Center. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tanya.